Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here tonight. And if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I hope you'll give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight, and certainly a very happy new year to everyone that's listening. I'm glad you're starting the year off with us here on 1220, and I hope we'll be a blessing to you here tonight, as well as throughout the year ahead. All right, let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just thank you for another year in which we have to serve you. Pray that you would bless now. Use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And then, Lord, we just pray that we could lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to the program tonight. And just to give you a little background information real quick as we start the program off, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We certainly invite you to visit us there. We'll have more information about that later on in the program, as well as at the end of the program. But let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll find a variety of things there. You can learn more about myself, the program, and we have links to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we also have links to some articles and different things they've written that are made available there. And there's past programs that you can find. If you missed one of our programs, or perhaps you're not able to catch our Friday afternoon program, we're on every Friday afternoon right here on this station, every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, live program as well. You can listen to those all at livewithpastoral.com. Or maybe you're not able to continue on and listen to the whole program here on Sunday nights. Well, you can catch up on that as well. With the holidays and everything, I'm a little bit behind on getting some of them. I think looking at the website, I think the last one we have up there right now is the 19th of December. And it's not that the programs aren't loaded. I think all but last Friday are loaded right now. It's just I haven't had a chance to get everything updated on the website. So if it's going to get updated, it's me that's going to do it. And I had a lot going on this past week. But also, you can find information about our church and our church newsletters on there. And I have an article that I'm going to be publishing as a standalone article just put together last week as well, called Secure in Christ. And I think that article will be a blessing to you if you get a chance to take a look at it. I know a lot of people are concerned about their eternal security, and that's kind of the idea in the article. We know a lot of people like to have security. You like financial security, national security, personal security. What about eternal or spiritual security? And you can have that in Christ. And I have had some discussions with some people recently, and that I share some of the things of that in the article that made me think about this. But one of the things that I came across when putting together this article here is how time and time again the Bible points to Christ being our security and not ourselves. And what's important about that, and I guess you could say what's reassuring about that, is if I was the basis of my security, I'd be in a pretty dangerous situation. I don't know how I would be able to hold on to my own security, how I would be able to keep myself secure without being dependent on Christ. Let me just share a verse with you, and we're going to get to our phone calls here in just a few minutes. But over here in Hebrews chapter 12, and talking about this idea of eternal security, the Bible says something here that it's very important for us to understand. In Hebrews chapter 12, and starting in verse 1, Paul's writing here, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Then there's a comma, and we go into verse number 2, where he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, when you're looking at that passage there, he says, Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, author and finisher, think about that for a minute. Author and finisher. What that's saying is that Jesus is the one that's responsible for our salvation. It's Jesus Christ and Christ alone that paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood to pay for your sins and my sins. And so he's the author of our salvation. It's God who designed and determined the method of salvation. It's God that said the wages of sin is death, not merely physical death, but spiritual death, which occurred, of course, when Adam disobeyed God. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. He was immediately dead spiritually. He was cut off, separated from God, and then he died physically. And all of us inherit a sin nature because we're all descendants of Adam. And then, of course, the Bible says that the second death is to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, sometimes called the death of the soul, where we're separated from God for all eternity. Now, the only way to escape that is through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was already set for his birth, his incarnation, which we celebrate at Christmas time, and then to live a perfect life, fulfilling the law completely, and then to go to the cross where he would shed his blood to pay for our sins as he died in our place. He experienced physical death. He also experienced spiritual death when he became sin for us. The Bible says, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was cut off from the Father. And you say, well, what's a few hours on a cross compared to an eternity in the lake of fire? Well, Jesus, being the eternal God, exists in all time at all time. And a way to understand that is, like I explained to our church, we're always in the present. We're on our way from the past, on our way to the future, but we always are existing and comprehending the present. To Jesus as God, to God himself created time. God exists outside of time, so all time is alike to God, not just the present. The past is just as real to God right now as the present is, and the future is just as real to God right now as the present is. And so as a consequence, when Jesus hung on the cross and took your sin and my sin upon himself, God knew what our sins would be because they were all in the future, and he put them on Christ. And when Jesus became sin for us and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's an eternal moment for him. It's a few hours, humanly speaking, in terms of time and history, but for an eternal being like God, that moment exists for all eternity. And so he tasted that eternal separation for us. Well, I don't want to spend too much more time on that except to say that Jesus did it. And when he said, it is finished, there's nothing you or I can add to it. The only thing we can do is by faith, believing, accept what Christ has done. In Ephesians 2, he says it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved, and that not of works, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. But look over here in Philippians here too, where he says in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began the good work. He is the author of our faith. And he says he will perform it, the Bible says. He is the finisher of our faith. Now, what does this have to do with eternal security? If you believe that God is the author of your faith, the author of your salvation, and you believe that he began this work in you, but it's up to you to finish it, it's up to you to perform it, well, here's a problem. What happens if you have an illness or an injury that causes dementia or some kind of brain trauma that causes you to forget and you don't recall your salvation experience? And maybe somebody says, are you really saved? And you say, well, I don't know anything about that. I don't think so. And somebody say, well, you're denying Christ. You've lost your salvation. Your salvation will be in jeopardy because of an illness, because of a disease, because of an injury. But I have confidence in Christ, being confident, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day that he comes back for us. And so with confidence, I am, as Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My confidence is in Christ. He made my salvation possible, and he maintains my salvation for me. I couldn't do either one. The only thing I could do is by faith throw myself upon his mercy and accepting the fact that Jesus died in my place to pay for my sins. And I hope you've done that yourself. If you've done that, then he began a good work in you, and you can be confident that he will perform it until the day that he calls you to be with him. You can look to him, Jesus, as the author and finisher of your faith. That's security. You don't have to worry about having a disease, getting sick, or having an injury and inadvertently losing your salvation because you weren't able to maintain it. Instead, we have confidence in Christ. That's eternal security. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we're going to jump into our phone calls here this evening. We've got several people calling in. We've got Mark calling in tonight. And Mark, welcome to the program this evening.
Hey, Pastor Al, good to talk to you again.
Good evening. Good to hear from you. How have you been?
Not too bad. I'm calling from Marysville, Ohio.
And, right.
I appreciate you taking my calls the past couple months. I've got some what appears to be extremely bad news. It appears to be. But I've also got some very good news. That unsound ministry that wanted to purchase the property where I rent on from my landlord, they actually purchased it on Thursday. Somebody donated to them, and they had put them over the top, and they were able to secure a loan, and now they own the property. However, the glorious news is, and this is really the most important thing, despite the fact I don't want them to own this place for personal reasons and for my own personal peace of mind, they've changed their mind, and they're not going to use it for transition housing for women getting out of prison with small children, which is a glorious thing. Because this ministry, who I found out the leader of it, who is also a pastor, sometimes will preach, not even using the Bible, and sometimes will even read stuff to his congregation that he says the Lord told him, that ministry will not be affecting these women. They won't have that opportunity. They're going to use this property, let all the people that live here, stay here, and they'll use the rent money to fund their own ministry. And that doesn't mean it's over, because they've still got some very questionable things they do, and I'm asking for prayer that God would uncover everything, and if it's illegal, that it'll be found out, that the bank would take possession of this place again, sell it to whoever they want, a good person preferably, and that justice will be done, because I do know for a fact they have ethics violations and they've turned off a lot of people in this area. But it is a blessing that women will not be in danger, and I do mean that, spiritual danger, of being, quote, ministered to by this ministry when they get out of prison. So that's off the table.
Well, that is good to hear. And for our listeners, you may remember Mark was bringing this up in prayer several times over the past year. He's down near Marysville, where is the state of Ohio's women's prison. And he was talking about women coming out of prison into a halfway house, and the concern being that this ministry, which has a lot of questionable practices and doctrines, to say the least, is no longer going to be operating a halfway house, influencing these women in the wrong way. So we'll just keep praying that God continues to bring some good out of this situation.
Sure. Now, just a quick question. Have you ever heard of Bill Johnson of Redding, California, with Bethel Church?
I don't believe so.
Okay. They got kicked out of the Assemblies of God a couple years ago because one reason was because a young woman died and they left her body in the casket in the sanctuary for several days, hoping she'll come back to life. And that is who has influenced the leader of this ministry here down in Marysville. And that just shows you how far gone this guy is. So I appreciate all your prayers and letting me on, and I hopefully will come up with more praise in the near future, hopefully very near, and that, you know, this place will be restored to order, and that people would be set free from that church that is led by the guy that leads this ministry. It's a mess.
And I certainly encourage our listeners to keep you in prayer as well.
Thank you.
And appreciate that update.
Okay, God bless.
All right, God bless. Happy New Year, Mark. Appreciate
it. Happy New Year to you, too. God bless.
Thank you very much. God bless. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Grover up next, I believe. Grover, Happy New Year to you.
Long time no hear from you, Brother Al.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
One of the reasons I was calling, my house is under quarantine for 10 days. My daughter got the virus, and I wanted you to pray for my daughter, Sherry. She's
and certainly pray. And in many cases, the quarantine's being shortened down, so down to 5 days in some cases. So,
well, yeah, hers is five, but it'll be over Tuesday, but I can't stand to be locked up.
Well, I remember last year, last year in January, at the tail end, some of our listeners, I know, no doubt remember, I had COVID and I was in the hospital for 5 days. And for me, being an introvert as opposed to an extrovert, they said, here, you're in a room. The only time anybody talked to me was when they needed to come in and check my vitals or give me some kind of medication or bring some food in or come in and collect the trash.
I got a question
there. I was just going to say, it didn't bother me. I like the quiet and the rest. It was kind of nice in that sense. But, yes, what's your question there?
Okay. I've heard so many preachers asking the question about the vaccine. Okay, I had one says a guy told him not to take it, and I said, you know what? I don't want to get into an argument with you, fella, but I said that's kind of funny. Me and my daughter, we prayed about this, about the vaccination, right? And I felt that God says it's okay. And I tell people, I don't think that Jesus is going to tell one of his children to take the vaccination if it's going to harm. And you know what? I don't know how you feel about the vaccination either way. But here's what I look at. All right, my mom and dad, she didn't raise no genius, but she did not raise no fools. And I don't believe everything the science says. But when I hear people say that virus is a scam, you know what? They just had over 400,000 people in the United States since yesterday come down with that virus, right? So I don't know how you feel about it. You might not. Did you take your vaccination?
I've not been vaccinated. I had COVID. I got natural vaccination.
You're immune to it.
Well, actually, the Omicron variant that's out right now, if you had COVID, you can still get this one. And guess what? If you've been vaccinated, you can still get this one. In fact, we've mentioned on the radio a couple weeks ago, there was a cruise ship in port in Miami, because even though everybody on the cruise ship 12 and over was vaccinated, they had a COVID outbreak on the ship. There's a U.S. Navy ship, the USS Milwaukee, that was in port in Guantanamo Bay, because even though they have a 100% vaccination rate on the ship, well, they've got a COVID outbreak. And then this past week, a science and research station in Antarctica with 100% vaccination rate, two-thirds, I think it is, of the people there are down with COVID. So,
You know what? This is my belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't believe that it's as high as they say it is. Because one thing, when they take that test, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people, it's not the disease. It's all it is the flu. And if you look over how many people every year die from the flu, it's way up there, 30, 40,000.
And there is a number, and I was looking at the clock here. You were asking about some of the things I thought about it. I just tried to get a couple things in here real quick. It did kind of displace the flu last year. There is a natural phenomena that at work where it kind of crowded it out. But the flu is coming back quite a bit this year. And there are false positives. There are false positives. But I also know a number of people over the past few weeks that have taken those home tests and had positives but never contacted the health department. And they've been positive, and they've had all the classic symptoms, so they never figured into the numbers. But yeah, the virus is real.
Pray for my daughter.
Yeah, we'll pray for you. And like you're asking, the virus is real. A lot of people say it's a scam. There's no virus, no such thing. It is real. And last year at this time, my wife goes into a variety of nursing homes and things with her job as a hospice nurse. They were having dozens of people die each day. They instituted the vaccine in December, January last year. And a year later, you know, a dozen people over the past few months, maybe, as opposed to dozens every day. It has made a difference in that segment of the population. However, the younger you are, it seems the more dangerous the vaccine is. And I would never advise somebody to, or let me rephrase that. I would never tell somebody, you must get this or you must not get this. This is a decision, like you said, you prayed about, you made it with the Lord. Now, a lot of people don't want to get it because it's experimental and there may be side effects that they don't want to risk. Well, that may be so. That's a good, valid reason. A lot of people, because of the way it was developed with the fetal cell tissue lines and things like that for the development, the testing and all of that. And so as that, for that reason, they won't do it because they believe that it's unethical or immoral. But again, so many things today are tested on fetal cell lines, monoclonal antibody treatments that people say, well, you got to get that. Guess what they use to develop those? Well, that's a whole nother area.
I'm going to go and let you talk to somebody,
yeah.
But just pray for Sherry real fast.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll do that. And Heavenly Father, do pray for Grover and his daughter. Surely just pray that you bless them and help them to soon be feeling better and back to good health and back on their feet and out and about. We just thank you for your watch care over us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy New Year to you, Grover.
Before I go, my health is great.
Well, pray God keeps it great. So.
Oh, I thought I've got the best doctor in the world. His name is Jesus
Dr. Christ. Jesus, okay. All right, thanks, Grover. Appreciate it. And again, as Grover was asking there, this is something people have to get and investigate this, because, you know, there are so many problems really on both sides of the issue where people are only getting part of the information, and they're getting misleading statements and things like that. And problem that you're facing is online. There are concerted efforts to prevent you from learning about things that they've done studies that show that they're effective, like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. These are not things that somebody say, wow, I wonder if it would work. Well, let's just try it. No, they have studies in other parts of the world, but you're not allowed to hear about them on Facebook, on Twitter, on some of these social media platforms. And CNN, NBC, and all that, they're not telling you about this. You had President Biden out there saying, oh, this is going to be the winter of death. You need your vaccination. And then the Defense Secretary, Defense Secretary. That's the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Drawing a blank on his name right now. He was just confirmed to test positive with COVID, and he's been fully vaccinated. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who's fully vaccinated, tested positive. And like I said, these other people that are testing positive, they're fully vaccinated. For a lot of people now, the question becomes, is the risk or the questionable ethics of the vaccine worth it when the vaccine isn't necessarily keeping you from getting COVID? I agree with some people. The Omicron variant that's circulating now is, in a sense, it's like God's gift. If you're going to get COVID, this is the one to get. I had something other than the Omicron variant. I don't know what variant it was that I had last year, and it put me in the hospital with pneumonia for 5 days. Well, I'm glad that God healed me and got me out and back to health. My wife, at the same time, we both came down symptoms the exact same day, and she took a few Tylenol, and that was about it. And I've seen that time and time again where people come down with it. One person takes a few Tylenol or a couple aspirin, and they're fine. Another person is in bed for a day or two or three or four sometimes. And you know, so it's hard to say. There's a variety of variants going around. It's all COVID. They're not separate viruses. It's just like people exist in different varieties. Some have different color pigmentation of their skin. Some have different color of hair. Some have different color of eyes. Some have, other different features and things than what others have. But we're all human beings. We're just different variants, if you want to look at it that way. And it's the same thing with the viruses. And the Omicron is obviously not prevented very well by any of the vaccines. And even people that have had COVID are coming down with the Omicron variant. And so it breaks through some of the immunities that you had. And so anyway, keep praying for people. The Omicron, like I said, most people that got it, they're over it within a few days and back to living life. But there are still variants out there that are serious. And for some people, they are serious situations. And so don't take it lightly. Pray about it. Let God guide you. Make common sense practices. Listen, I don't care what Dr. Fauci says. A mask is not going to prevent this virus. They already know that, study after study shows. And think about it for a minute. How can a mask with pores that are many times larger in opening size than the diameter of the virus stop it from going through? You might as well have a chain link fence to keep the mosquitoes off your porch this summer. Well, pray and take common sense practices. If you feel sick, stay home, stay away from people, and get plenty of rest and nutrition. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171
Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Happy New Year to you. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. We'll be here until 12 o'clock midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And, of course, our call-in number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to talk to you tonight. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call. 888-677-9673. Of course, the program is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us there. We just had that information. We'll have it again at the end of the program. If you go online, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find out about our home church. You can link to us there, as well as find out more about me, the program, listen to past programs, read some of the materials, and there's some word searches and different things that are all available there, livewithpastoral.com. And also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them right here on Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, well, we're going to get back to our callers here. And just a reminder, you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. Call us at 888-677-9673. And we've got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I am doing well. Happy New Year.
Oh, not sure about that.
Let me pause for just a second. When you said that, reminded me, I was telling our church today, I said, you know, last year, a year ago, we said, boy, looking forward to 2021, it can't be worse than last year was. Well, I'm reluctant to say that this year, so I kind of agree with you on that.
I wondered if you had a chance to see the new statue at the United Nations in New York City.
Oh, the beast.
Yeah.
Yes, it is rather interesting, isn't it? It yeah. looks a lot like the beast, that the body of the leopard and all that that's described in the Bible, representing the Antichrist and his kingdom.
Yeah, it exactly does.
And kind of interesting. It's interesting. I believe myself, Satan often autographs his works. The United Nations is an effort to bring about a globalist government. Over at the, I think it's the European Parliament in over in Europe, they had a, I'm trying to think, it was a stamp or something commemorating its anniversary of its organization, and the stamp was a picture of the Tower of Babel being completed.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? You know, how the devil signs his work. But yes, I encourage people to go online and take a look at that.
And you know what the beast is supposed to represent, don't you?
Well, we have the woman riding the beast in the book of Revelation. Yeah, the Antichrist government and world government there.
But I mean the one at the United Nations.
I forget the name that they called it.
They call it the Guardian of Peace and Security.
Right, right. Yeah.
And well, it has teeth of iron.
Mm-hmm. It's just like they read the Bible and copied some of the things. And remember, Daniel talked about that vision.
Right.
And, very interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty scary how things are lining up as far as world conditions are concerned.
Well, and when we look at the UN itself, a lot of people may remember that it replaced the League of Nations following World War II because the League of Nations never quite made it to what they wanted it to be. Remember, after World War I, they tried to form the League of Nations, and McKinley, I believe it was, wasn't it? It was the big backer of that. And Wilson, not McKinley. Wilson was the backer of that. And what's really interesting is one of the reasons that the United States never got fully on board with it is that he went on a nationwide tour. Of course, at that time it was by rail. They would have a special presidential car, and they would hook that up to trains going in different areas, and they would roll in, and he would go out on the end of it, and he would speak to the crowd that would gather at the station, and then they would be off to the next station. That was their equivalent of a whirlwind jet tour in their era. And he had a stroke or something on that tour before they got very far. He was brought back to Washington, and he was essentially an invalid the rest of his presidency. In fact, his wife, it's believed, actually signed his name to a lot of bills during that time. People would want to talk to him, and she'd say, oh, he's too sick, he's too tired. I'll go tell him what you said. And then she'd come back with the answer. It might be that he never even knew what they said. She just was running the country. So, God prevented him from bringing us into the League of Nations. And because of that, the League of Nations was never quite able to get off the ground. And so when they formed the United Nations after World War II, most of it was formed on the foundation of the League of Nations. And many of the agencies and everything just transferred over. But they located it within the United States purposely to help bring the United States on board.
Right.
And, of course, America has always been one of the greatest sources of opposition to their globalist goals. And that's one of the reasons they hated President Trump so much, is because Barack Obama, during his 8 years, was doing everything he could to set the United States up to fold us into the global world order. Hillary Clinton was supposed to complete the task, and when God intervened and prevented her from being elected, they were robbed in their minds. And And so they were angry. It didn't matter. It wasn't so much that it was him. It was the fact that it wasn't her. And their plans were frustrated. And, of course, that's why the questionable election last year and the questionable results and everything, they wanted to do everything they could to ensure that Donald Trump did not win re-election, because they needed him out of the way to continue their plan to demote America from its world leadership status and to fold us into the global world order. And I would say they've been moving with lightning speed since then. So
yeah, especially this last year.
Oh, it's been amazing. You would never have thought a year ago that they could have done as many things as they've done. And it's clear that the American public is still not 100% satisfied with this, because Joe Biden has the lowest approval ratings of any president since they've kept approval ratings, and it keeps getting lower. Clearly, people don't like what he's doing. But they're doing it anyways, because they've seized control and they're doing everything they can to destroy the military, destroy the institutions. To are you familiar with a term, what's it called? It's called mass. I'm going to slip my mind here. See if I can find it real quick. Mass formation psychosis. It's kind of like mass hypnosis. And this has been one of the most Googled terms the past several days. In fact, Google has been monkeying with the algorithm, trying to prevent people from finding out what it really is. But they're using this, and they're using the COVID pandemic, the phobia that they've created, the irrational fear that they've created of COVID, in order to basically move people and for lack of a better term, brainwash people into accepting things that 2 years ago nobody would have ever thought possible. And it's well, there.
I was really shocked when, I guess it was several years ago, where they put up the portal to bail there at Central Park there in New York City. Do you remember that?
Not as familiar with that one, but it not surprising. Also, another thing at the UN, they have a room in there that they have this. I think it's a cube, if I remember correctly, and it's basically an idol to a variety of deities that's right inside the UN.
Well, and New York City's always been thought of as a kind of Babylon anyways.
Well, and to some degree, yes. And, it's interesting, but it's got a storied history. It's been given much, and much is going to be required of it. And unfortunately, it is taking such a turn away from God that you can see that it's not been good for New York City here in the last couple of years, has it?
No, and the beast is called the Guardian of Peace and Security. And you know what Paul says in Thessalonians about peace and security?
They'll be crying peace and security and safety.
And then what happens?
Well, then, yeah, comes the end. So
sun destruction.
Yep. So God is setting the stage, and Jesus said in Luke 21, when you see these things begin to happen, and we're certainly seeing the beginning, he said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. John, I got two more callers waiting for me, and I appreciate the call. Happy New Year. Thanks for that. And we've got Nancy, I believe, who's been waiting the longest. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. This is extremely interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and Happy New Year to you.
I'm really enjoying hearing your answers to the questions and comments. Now, tonight, my question is concerning prayers for my son, who's in intensive care, and he's not doing too well. And I really, really appreciate yours and, two other churches that are praying, and many, many saved people that have been praying. But what my question is, there's a number, at least a dozen people that are fervently praying for the healing for my son, who is saved.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know, since they're praying for his healing, Does God hear their prayers? Now, I know God hears when someone's, you know, like truly searching for salvation and they're repenting and all that. I know God hears those prayers, but what I want to know, if a person is really sincere, like I know about 12 people I know are not saved, does God hear their prayers or not? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, in terms of saved people, obviously God hears our prayers, says that in the scriptures. But for the unsaved people, you know, we appreciate their kind thoughts and expressed by prayer. But it really amounts to, I believe, the only prayers of the unsaved people, I believe, that God really pays a whole lot of attention to are prayers where they're searching, you know, trying to find the truth. If they're searching, you know, the Lord says, seek and ye shall find. And I think if somebody is searching, saying, God, if you're real, help me to find out, help me to know, you know, somehow let me know that you're real. I think God will answer those prayers. It's a prayer of searching. And then, of course, when somebody does find Christ and the Spirit of God moves upon the heart of that unsaved individual, gives them understanding, they become partakers of the Holy Spirit, like Hebrews chapter 6 says, and they taste the good word, and they get an understanding of something they didn't previously understand, and then they ask God to save them. You know, they confess their sin and they put themselves on the mercy of the Lord. God will answer that prayer of salvation. So I think that's the prayers that He answers from the unsaved person. And in terms of other prayers, obviously God would hear them because He knows what they're praying. He knows what they're thinking. He knows what they're saying. And as to how much, you know, I would be reluctant to go out on too much of a limb saying, well, yeah, their prayers help too, because God's not in any way obligated to listen to them. Although because He's God, He knows what their thoughts and their intents are. And it certainly encourages individually, humanly speaking, it encourages people to know somebody cares enough to want to pray. You know, I still come back to, I think the only two prayers that the types of prayer that God really obligates Himself to answer are prayers where somebody's searching for knowledge and understanding of the truth. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody seeks to pray a prayer of salvation.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That's what I thought the answer was. But I was sort of hoping, because these are really nice people that really mm-hmm. care about my, and they're really praying with their whole heart. And it's just, it's sort of sad to me that God is not hearing their prayers. But, you know, we just have to go by what the Bible says.
Yeah. Well, I mean, He knows what they're saying. He knows their heart. But at the same time, you know, they're not saved. And it, humanly speaking, it is encouraging to know that you have friends who aren't saved who are willing to do that.
Okay, well, thank you very much for answering.
All right, and let me encourage our listeners to continue to pray for your son, for his health. So, I appreciate that, Nancy. Happy New Year. And we've got Terry waiting patiently for us tonight as well. Terry, Happy New Year. Welcome to the program.
Happy New Year. I can honestly say that I studied harder this year than I did last year.
I've spent more time in church this year than in, you know, on a percentage basis than all of last year. We welcomed in the new year at our Friday night Bible study. So I started the year at our with, you know, church fellowship and then of course all day today. So I think on a percentage basis I've got more than, you know, 50% of the year tied up in church oriented stuff.
Well, I've done a lot of studying this year and I'm hoping that I'm going to study even harder this year.
Yeah.
So I was going to mention quick. I know I don't have much time, but you were talking about the Arminian beliefs that you can lose your salvation. I hate that.
Oh yeah, we were talking about the security that we have in Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that began it and will perform it until the day of Christ.
Right, and that's, you know, of course the Arminians don't believe that, but John chapter 10 is a. I encourage everybody to read that chapter because
it's absolutely clear. That puts it as clear as can be.
Right, and there's two words I'd like to mention quickly. Mm-hmm. Two words I've been studying is called prescriptive descriptive.
Okay.
The difference between prescriptive and descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how a word is being, it says attempt to describe how a word is used.
Right.
While a prescriptive word says how a word should be used, how the word should be used.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some scriptures that says that you can lose yourself. It sounds like you can lose your salvation, but you gotta read it right properly.
And keep it in context, yes.
Right. And I just learned something tonight. John chapter 10, verse 16, it says, and other sheep have I, which are not in this fold. I was always wondering what that really meant.
Mm-hmm.
It just came to me tonight. It's talking about the Gentiles.
Yeah, because he's talking, this is Jesus, and that's a very good point, because who's Jesus talking to here? He's talking to Jewish people.
The Jews. Yeah.
Exactly. And remember, even in Paul's ministry, he had several times to make the point that the Jews didn't think the gospel was for anybody but them, and yet God had done a new thing, that he had opened the door up to the Gentiles, and that was actually predicted in the Old Testament, that Jew and Gentile alike would be welcomed by the Messiah. And so you're absolutely right. Other sheep would be the Gentiles, because he's talking to a Jewish audience here.
And it says, and hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and mm-hmm. one shepherd.
Well, and that was fulfilled. Remember, Paul wrote that we're in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, meaning Gentile.
Yeah.
We're one in Christ, neither male nor female, rich nor poor, Jew nor Greek, meaning we're all one in Christ.
That's right. And it says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and know one of mine. He knows who the sheep is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows who the true believers are.
But the hireling, he's the one that tries to separate the sheep.
Right. And
he's doing a good job of it.
Yeah, and Jesus is the one willing to lay down his life for the sheep. The hireling's not. And I like that. And then that's where he says about his sheep. He says there in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, which by its very definition cannot end. And they shall never perish, which the definition again there is that absolutely secure, no possibility of perishing. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, which means we're in his hand, and nobody, and that includes ourselves, can pluck us out. Some people try to say, well, as long as you're in Christ, you're eternally secure, which is a bunch of nonsense, because that doesn't even make sense. You aren't eternally secure, because if you should pluck yourself out of his hands, then you'd be lost. So you're not eternally secure until you get to heaven, if that's the case. And then he said, my Father, which gave them, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The only way you could pluck yourself out of God's hand, or anybody could pluck yours out of God's hand, is if you were greater than God the Father. You'd have to be more powerful than the creator of heaven and earth to pluck yourself out of his hand. I was telling somebody at church, we were talking about this. I had an uncle when I was growing up. It was a great uncle of mine, and nice guy. And I forget what he did for a living, but he had a grip that was like an iron vise. And I can remember that he would grab your thumb with his fist and say, see if you can pull your thumb away. And no matter what you did, you just couldn't get your thumb free from his hand until he let you go. Because, you know, we're kids, and he'd be laughing, and I'd do it, my brothers would do it, my cousins would do it, and nobody could pull their thumb out of his hand. He had an iron grip on you that you just, until he let you go, you couldn't get away from him. And that is kind of analogous to what I'm saying. God has an iron grip on us, and he's not going to let us go. The only way you would have been able to get out of my uncle's hand is if you were stronger than him. And we weren't. We were just kids. But how are you going to get out of God's hand if you're not stronger than him? You can't do it. You are in Christ, eternally secure. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He began a good work in you, and he will perform. He says you can have confidence in that. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's reassuring, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's one thing that the Pharisees were all upset about with Jesus, eh?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and yeah, when we look at this, it's so reassuring when you read the scriptures and these powerful statements that our security rests in Christ. Now,
it's simple. What the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't realize is that it was God manifested in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
God came down in the flesh.
And, you know, some of them recognized it, but they didn't want it. Because remember, at one point they said, well, you know, if he keeps this up, the Romans might come and take away our place.
Yeah.
Meaning they liked the temporal power and authority that the Romans allowed them to exercise. And even though they realized that Jesus fulfilled the scriptures to be the Messiah, they really didn't want to lose their temporal power. They love the things of this world more than God. And
that's one thing I can never understand.
You know, yeah.
The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead, but the
Sadducees did not. Yeah, somebody said you can distinguish between the Pharisees and the Sadducees because the Pharisees believed in the possibility of eternal life, but the Sadducees didn't, and that's why they were Sadducee. So that's one of those little ways you can remember that. But I hear the music playing there, so I know we're coming up on the end of the program. But I do thank you for calling tonight, Terry.
Yeah.
And if you, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Okay.
And certainly want to say Happy New Year to all of our listeners here tonight and encourage you to make this year a year that you're going to do your best to be able to get out and serve God and do more for the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming year. And, you know, hopefully, Lord willing, this will be the year that he comes back for us. But until then, God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.